Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
It's Dustin Voice. We are on location. I am not joined by Beer Mansky. He is on the road himself. I honestly have no idea where he's at right now, but no doubt up to no good. So I am here at the Moose Lodge being stared at by a gigantic moose head across the room from me. It's very intimidating. But the reason I am here as a guest of the For What It's Wart beer competition, named after, of course, the classic Buffalo Springfield song, I believe.
Yeah, just a little play on words.
Yep, okay. And I'm joined by two special guests. One, been trying to get him on the show for a while. He is from White Oak, based out of Bloomington area.
West Normal.
West Normal, okay. Yeah. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and to the right of him, you heard his voice already. He works at our wonderful sponsor, Distill Brewery, also here in Bloomington, just right down the road. Welcome, Tim.
It's good to be here.
All right. So, tell us a little bit about what's going on here today.
So, brew competition, people send in, home brewers send in their samples, their different entries, to be judged by certified judges, and then they provide feedback to those people. They also compete with one another and are vying for gold, silver, and bronze in whichever categories they happen to submit their beers to.
Okay. Is there a commission that makes sure that all the beers are up to standard and are not have performance enhancing yeasts or anything of this sort that can get them disqualified from contention?
No, really up to the peril of the judges to wade through those.
And, all right. Well, we are not drinking any of the beers that are currently being judged at the moment, but what we are going to drink is a couple beers that Brian brought. So we're going to feature a little White Oak Brewing right now, and I was lucky enough to have one of these on draft at the Fox last week. So shout out to Matt Rixner and all our friends at the Fox, Drew and Mike, Cicero and Mike used to work there, but now he's in Kentucky. So the Fox is one of our favorites. So it's nice that they're showing you guys some love. And we're not doing our Spin the Bottle segment. Sorry, listeners, we don't have any beers to chug here. Also, I don't think it really goes with the vibe of the beer competition. So everybody's sipping and taking notes. It's very academic here. So I'm not going to be the jackass standing in the corner chugging a beer. But the drinking game will still apply for the show for all you listeners. So anytime somebody swears, anytime there's an audible expulsion of gas, anytime there's a pop culture reference or impression done, and anytime the word of the day is said, you take a drink. And the word of the day this week, we'll say Bloomington. And I've already said a few times, so take a few drinks from the get-go. So, Brian, what's the first beer that we're going to be drinking here?
I think the first one we have here is our American Blonde Ale.
Okay.
We call this one Holla Atcha. Just
kind of, boy,
yeah, or holla at your blonde.
Okay,
holla back. It's just kind of a fun play on words on a nice little crisp beer. We just needed something for summertime and something that was easy to session on. It seemed like the Hefeweizen Kolsch cream ale market was pretty much cornered, and so we explored Blonde Ale. And
you didn't want to go the Radler route.
Well, yeah, we have made one batch of this with tart cherries.
Really?
And it got a lot of positive reviews.
Okay.
So we have explored putting some fruit back into it from time to time to do a special or limited releases.
Yeah.
But maybe, hopefully, probably not so far as to do a full-scale Rattler.
Gotcha. Yeah. So what's the ABV on this?
This one's 4.5%.
Okay, so yeah, very sessionable and, you know, mowing the lawn and just knock back a few of these on a hot day.
Right, and outdoor festivals, events, knowing that summer was coming up and we were going to be serving a lot of beer outside, this is a pretty easy beer to enjoy out in the heat.
Yeah, so how long does this beer take you to make?
This is actually one of our quicker beers because it's a lower original gravity, so there's not as much sugar to be consumed, so it really doesn't take as long, doesn't require any special aging or conditioning, and ferments at a relatively high temperature compared to a lager.
Okay.
So really, we can turn these around 2 to 4 weeks, depending on what equipment's available and how fast we need to work at it.
Yeah.
But this is something we just kind of keep around and always kind of keep going. We use it a lot to build yeast. And so we use American yeast for a lot of our styles. And the nice thing about a 1040 Original Gravity Blonde Ale is that it builds a lot of yeast, and that yeast is usually pretty comfortable and ready to rock when we can parlay that into our IPAs and higher gravity stuff, too.
Always good when your yeast is ready to rock.
Yeah.
Always good. So, Tim, I mentioned your work at Distill. Mm-hmm. What do you do over at Distill?
I am a cellarman, which basically just means I do a lot of cleaning.
Okay.
whenever a beer needs to be moved, move the beer, pitch the tanks with yeast, keg beer. I help out on the canning line. Really anything around the brewery that needs to be done.
It's done, yeah. You're like the jack-of-all-trades.
Yeah, the catch-all.
The gopher, yeah.
Cold side, right?
Cold side, that's right.
Strong side.
And how long have you been working over there?
Coming up on a year.
Okay.
I started there August 11th last year. Quit my cushy job at State Farm.
Oh, look at you. Left the farm for the greener pastures.
Yep, and so far I've been loving it.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, that's what we like to hear. You got to be passionate about what you do.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been homebrewing for about 5 years, and probably 2 years ago I realized, you know, I don't really want to do IT for the rest of my life.
Yeah. So. Now, the beers here, do you have any on the competition, or would that be skewed since you're one of the heads of getting this thing together?
I have one entry in, and I actually already entered the score into the database, and I knew it wasn't going to be good just because it's not the best beer in the world.
Way to go.
Yeah.
Way to fuck it up.
Well, you know, got to contribute to the team.
Right.
So
at least you tried.
Yeah.
You know, so
game played.
What's the name of the group?
The homebrew club that hosts the event is the Abnormal Brewers.
Okay.
Abnormal.
Anheuser-Busch.
Yes.
The Association of Bloomington.
Oh, okay.
Normal Brewers.
So it's
word of the day.
So, exactly. So it's nothing to do with Anheuser-Busch.
No.
Okay.
No, all about Bloomington.
Yeah. And Normal.
Yes. Gotta love the Twin Cities.
Yes. It's one of the oldest homebrew clubs, though, in the country.
Yeah, it was founded in, like, what, the late 80s or something?
It's
like
as
that?
Old as I am.
That's crazy.
It's going to be 27 this year in December.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have some members that were at the original meeting, including one that's here, that are still actively involved
that's
and still
awesome.
Judging. Mm-hmm. As far as homebrew clubs go, it's one of the oldest ones in continuous operation. And in the last, I think, 5 years or so, really seen a flourish in membership.
That's good. Makes sense.
Yep. Started participating in things like festivals and hosting homebrew competition and being more active and going and competing in other places and judging other places. Really seen like a renaissance of this club in the last 5 years or so.
Yeah, I'd say we're really trying, especially the last 2 years or so, trying to really push to be able to do more like serving homebrew
in
the area. There were a few laws passed a few years ago, and they really restricted the amount of homebrew and really any kind of homebrew pouring in public. Mm-hmm. It's like we used to pour with the JCs.
The laws allowed it at all. Because at first it wasn't allowed, but it is super restrictive. So the last 2 years have just been kind of a feeling out process of how these new laws work.
Because, yeah, I know even at the beer fest over at the Fox, they had home brewers there, but they had to give away the samples. They couldn't charge a ticket for them, and pretty much everybody there was friends of ours. We've drank a lot of homebrew on this show because a lot of our friends are home brewers, and lucky for us, they're pretty good at it.
It's some badass homebrews.
We drink some really good homebrew. I know there's a lot of bad homebrew out there. Tim, you just said you made one, so
that was badass homebrew. Because they had some really good beers at that Peoria Beer Fest.
How long did you homebrew before you decided to make White Oak a more viable business venture?
I kind of grew up with it. There was a homebrew supply store in Uptown Normal when it was Downtown Normal still. Mm-hmm. When I was a little whippersnapper, and I used to go in there with my dad. And
how old are you?
An old man.
You're able to.
Remember, I'll be 33.
Oh, I'm older than you then.
So. Yeah. Well, I was just a little guy.
Yeah.
In the homebrew supply store. So kind of grew up with it and took it a little bit more seriously when I went to grad school in the Chicago suburbs.
Okay.
Where there are more homebrew supply shops.
Oh, for sure.
Ended up working at one, and I think I decided I liked doing that more than I liked what I was at school for. Mm-hmm. So moved back here and opened a homebrew supply store in the fall of 11.
Oh, okay.
A really satisfying need here in town, because when I came back, there really wasn't a lot of options for ingredients, and not really any one place where you could get everything. There were some places where you could get some things and mail order, but kind of saw as a concept a place where you could go and get everything.
Well, now there's so much more than, you know, all these experimental hops that they're coming out with and stuff.
Right.
I mean, it's blowing up huge.
Yeah.
The homebrew scene. So, yeah, events like this in the area are great. And how many years have you done this competition?
This is our fourth year.
Fourth year. Yep. Okay. And I was talking to our old friend, Brewmaster Brian. He, I think, said he won a gold for one of his IPAs here last year. So,
nice.
Yeah, good stuff. And I know we haven't really been talking much about your beer, but I'm definitely enjoying this. I got a little vigorous on my pour the first time I had some earlier, and I had to let it settle a bit. It had a nice thick creamy head on it.
It is a really nice beer. It's very drinkable, very crisp. It's got like a nice sweet fruitiness to it that I like. Really just make it really drinkable.
It's pretty basic too for recipe formulation. For all the real beer nerds out there that understand the stats and the what's in it, it's just base malt. It's American Turo. We use some carapils so that we give it has some head and some dextrin, what's sticking to the glass there and what's, you know, providing the foam stand. We use Cascades to bitter, get it about 20 IBUs of bitterness just to balance the sweetness, and then we ferment it with 1056. We usually try and shoot for about 1040 original gravity, and it finishes at about 1004.
Okay.
To 1006, so then we're rocking right in about that, in or about 4.5%, according to federal law.
There you go.
You're supposed to be within 0.5%. So if the math that I just said doesn't make out to 4.5, until it does.
There you go. Now, what are your guys' go-to beer styles? Like, everybody that listens to the show knows I love IPAs. Mm-hmm. The hoppier, the better. Usually prefer citra hops. That's my favorite. And then sours. I'm a big fan of sours. What are you guys, regular day, you just want a good beer, what are you going to go for?
I really like anything that's really malt forward. So, okay. Like browns, porters, stouts. Anything barrel aged, I can't get enough of it. The darker it is, the better. The more complex, roasty malt flavors.
So you were probably excited earlier this week when you guys were getting the dose ready, getting the barrels all set up.
We actually just yesterday and the day before started putting them into barrels. So
yeah, for those of you not in the know, we've had it on the show before, but we're referring to Distill Dos Vidania. Award-winning beer. Mm-hmm. What, a Phobab?
It took the gold medal for its category for FOBAB and also won Best of Show there, and also got a bronze at the GABF.
Great. There you go. Fest. So it's good fucking beer.
A lot of variety.
Yes. Yeah. Demand was insane last year.
It sold out
all
in like
these awards. Couldn't find it.
Record
it.
You couldn't.
You can get the Privyet though. That's a little easier to find. That's the non barrel aged base. You know, it's like the base of it, which is really good. And we've had that on the show as well. So seek those out. But Dos Vidania is coming. Mm-hmm. Just like Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Winter is coming. Dos Vidania is coming. All right. I say it's time for us to move on to our second beer from Brian with his massive beard. Bearded Brian, looking like Paul Bunyan. This is his tribute to Depeche Mode. This is called Casual Jesus. Right?
Yeah.
Are you a big Depeche Mode fan?
Totally.
Yeah, I had a feeling. but yeah, this is the one I had at the Fox last week. Freckles, my girlfriend, she had it as well. And we're big fans of it. And also enjoyed the other one you had on tap, which, what was it called again?
It's called Res Ipsa Loquitur.
There you go.
It's Latin.
Yeah, that's why I didn't try to pronounce it. I struggle with foreign words. But yeah, that was your IPA.
Yeah. Every beer comes with a linguistics lesson, apparently.
Yeah, I need a hooked on phonics or something sometimes with some of the beers we drink on this show. But yeah, for White Oak, you're pretty much only going to find it on draft in the area, or if you're lucky enough to hit up a bottle shop in Bloomington, such as a Friar Tuck or a Hy-Vee, you can sometimes find bombers.
Yes.
They may not last long on the shelves, so stay tuned to the Instagram feed and the Facebook page and all that for updates. But, it's kind of a little Central Illinois favorite, but so sorry to our national listeners. You're not going to be able to try it unless you have somebody ship it to you.
Yeah. Or maybe hook up a bottle share or...
Yeah.
Right.
Send something good to somebody else.
Right.
Maybe they'll help you out.
Yeah, we just got some nice beers from Toppling Goliath from our buddies up in Iowa at Back Porch Productions. Terry shipped us three Toppling Goliath ones for us to enjoy, so that was very nice of him. Wanted to give him a shout out. And so, yeah, we still need to return the favor. I know Szymanski's got some beers in his cellar that those guys would... their jaws would hit the floor if they could drink them. So we'll have to do that. Maybe we can throw in some White Oak as well. So sure. What are you working on right now? You got any new ones in the works?
We just added this Casual Jesus in the last month.
Okay.
We also just added...
So this is his first...
This is
first run of it?
The first batch, yeah. Okay. We actually did do a test batch on this, a smaller test batch, and kept that all in-house. This was for the first production batch of
it. Okay.
So we have this. We also just worked on a Belgian IPA that we kind of did the opposite way, where we just made the huge batch of it. But we had a pretty good idea it was going to work. It's a Pilsner-based Belgian IPA with Mosaic. We had a big stack of Mosaic that we were looking forward to working with, but we didn't really have any of our standard recipes that use a lot of Mosaic, so we really wanted to take a beer and just kind of showcase it. So that's new too. That's been really going crazy lately. We're just about out of it, so we'll probably be making another batch of that.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what's new in the last month or so.
Very nice. Yeah. And you brought some of this to the festival, or not festival, this is not a festival, this is a competition. See,
yeah.
I go to festivals, that's what I'm used to. But this is for everybody here, they need to take a break from their judging and wash their palates. We all enjoyed these beers during lunch, which Tim, was it a roommate of yours or something that made some of the food?
He helped me out.
Okay.
Yeah.
We had some good pulled pork.
Kind of did tag team on that. We
chili.
Just had a pulled pork and smoked it with cherry wood and white oak wood to go with the theme of the show.
Was it from Bloomington, the white oak?
Drink.
It was from Bloomington. We got it at the Bloomington Farmers Market.
There you go. Now, you guys, meaning Distilled and White Oak, have collaborated before and are very friendly with each other. It's not like a turf war or anything on the streets of Bloomington as to the craft beer scene and who dominates. So what have you guys done together as companies? they've made some special beers and
yeah, we've always had a good relationship between the two companies too, with me having the homebrew supply store and a lot of the employees that distill being brewers themselves. Mm-hmm. I pretty much know everybody that works there. Even grew up with a couple of them, being from town. So we've always had that, and then having the homebrew supply store, always able to help them out with little ingredients and equipment and things that they need on a pinch.
Yeah.
So it was just a natural fit, and we've done one collaboration batch that we both brewed at the production facility, our production facility, mm-hmm. and the normal brew pub. They made 7 barrels of it. We made 4 barrels of it. It was an all Topaz IPA.
Okay.
That was pretty delicious.
I got to try that. That was pretty good.
Yeah. So we went
over. What was the name of that one?
Utopazia.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So we got to go over and brew with Mark, the OG Stash, and see his system and learn what we could learn from him, and just kind of get to get off our island a little bit and see what else is going on out there. And then he came and brewed with us and got to see how hard life can be. I think that was one of our toughest brew days we've had in a while. That really was one of the longer brew days where things just weren't working too well. But that always happens when you've got company.
Right.
It's a completely different system for everybody who doesn't know the brew house at the brew pub and distill in Normal is like pretty automated. It's just like push of a button and things work. But at White Oak, it's all
fired.
Just like
DIY. Yeah.
Ours is electric, and we don't have any valves on the hot side of the brewery that don't need to be turned by hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess, which is our claim to not fame, is hand-turned valves.
Well, you know, there's a charm to it, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just extra love.
That's what makes it artisanal. People will ask questions that I don't really have an answer for.
Yeah.
One of which being, well, what makes it artisanal? Or, why does your beer taste different than other people? And when I really don't have an answer, I just look at them and I say hand-turned valves.
Yep. There you go. It's a good stock answer. So, all right. Well, I think as we finish up this beer, I think we're going to play our first song of the episode from our band of the week. And our band of the week is none other than Quiet Company. I figured we're trying to be Quiet Company here at the competition. So they're based out of Austin, Texas. And they've got a album called Transgressor that I really, really dig. And I actually asked them about some of their favorite beers. And they said they can't call themselves like huge craft beer nerds or aficionados, but they do enjoy some craft beers when they're playing out in Austin. Beer Works, Fire Eagle, and Live Oak. Makes some great stuff too. So evidently those are some good beers. If you're in the Austin area, you should check them out. But what we're going to check out is a song called Seven Hells, which I believe that's a Game of Thrones reference too. So here on Drunken Lullabies, this is Quiet Company with Seven Hells.
Figured out what I do, and so
right, and that was The Quiet Company with The Seven Hells. And what you listeners don't know is there's literally been 2.5 hours since we played that song. Brian and I, we disappeared up the road to Flingers to enjoy some more beer, because at the beer competition there wasn't much for us to do while beer was being judged. So we're feeling a little bit more socially lubricated than we were. I would say we drank some great White Oak beer. I also had a Ridanculous from Founders, which we've featured on the show before. And,
had a Triptych beer because
you had, he had the Triptych.
It's a really good business.
Yes. Yes. And I had the Seems Legit from White Oak, which unfortunately we couldn't feature on this episode, but it is legit. And we've got some new people joining us. Both. If you've listened to all of our episodes, you should know both of these gentlemen. First, we got Double A, Arn Anderson, Alex Alvers from the Four Horsemen and also from Distill Brewery. Welcome back to the show, Double A.
Thank you.
All right. And technically, he made a guest appearance, but now this is his first proper episode. We got OG Stash, Mr. Mark Tilley.
Had to book him months in advance.
Yes. It's been ridiculous. Been trying to get schedules worked out. And apparently, we've got some beers from the competition that we're going to drink here in a bit when Tim gets back. And we also have a distilled beer that Alex brought us for our sponsor spotlight. But OG, he brought us a little Oscar Blues Burrito, which is their Mexican lager. So this is going to be a little palate cleanser, I guess, before we get into some really heavy shit.
Drink what everybody
it's
else
a control
drink.
Beer. So yes. You got to have a way to go back to, like, neutral. It's a pretty neutral beer, so.
And I drink this over at our friends of the show's, the McAway's house, and I told Mark it's my least favorite Oscar Blues beer, but again, that's Oscar Blues has yet to make a beer I don't like. So it's kind of like saying it's the least favorite child. You know, like, you still like it. It's just not your favorite, you know. So have you guys all had this one before?
I never had before. This is really nice.
Yeah. Nice malty, neutral flavor. I mean,
it's
easy drinking.
It's an easy drink.
Yeah, it's a little more accessible than like a Gubna, you know.
A little bit.
It is a departure.
At 4%, it's quite palatable.
Yeah, this would be a crusher, you know.
It's quaffable.
It's cool for Oscar Blues, though, because they have the yellow pills and this, where they can do some nice mild lagers that are super drinkable, really sessionable. And then on the other end, they've got the big danky beers that...
And then when you're done, you can smoke out of the can, apparently. So
yeah, it's got the screen.
There is a screen.
Is that what that is?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I found that out on this show. I paid no attention whatsoever to that until our friend Gorgeous George pointed that out to me, former resident of Colorado, so of course he knew what was going on with it.
Sneaky Oscar Blues.
Yeah, so... All right. So while we were drinking at Flingers, you guys just got here. So why are you here at the competition now?
It's a good question.
It is. That's why I asked.
Tim told me to show up.
Okay.
Mostly, as I understood it, was that we were going to assist with Best of Show, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys get to, like, walk the dogs around the tables?
Yep.
We're the ones that just point at them and say, you.
Yeah.
You, not you had one, but that one.
So you're here for Best of Show, and I heard there's a collaborations or something?
Ramp-ups.
So some ramp-ups.
Yeah, that's what they call them. So I think we're both going to pick one, right?
Yeah, I believe the situation is I'll pick one, and then Brian will pick one as well, and those homebrews will be scaled up to production size.
Nice.
8.5 barrels for Distill Normal.
Okay.
And then
four barrels for
Brian's got on his side.
That's all right. It's not the size that matters. It's what you do with it, right?
Yeah. It's what you do with it. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I guess...
that's the attitude you need.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think we are going to crack open our sponsor spotlight for the episode while we wait for Tim to get back and tell us what we're drinking on these contest beers. So this is a new one for me, and honestly, for distill, it doesn't happen very often.
It came out about 2 years ago.
Yeah, this is the 1920 Stout Imperial. Imperial?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, Imperial. In the spirit of the Franco-Belgian Military Accord of 1920, this beer unites a Belgian-style Imperial Stout with one-year aging in a French cognac oak fooder. Pronounce things wrong. Coalescing into aromas and flavors similar to dark roast coffee and dark chocolate, black cherries, plums, hints of molasses, and slight smoke, all pairing beautifully with the French oak tannins, medium body, gentle warming, and a dry finish. It's 11.64%. That is very specific. And it has 84 IBUs. So we're going to...
Did you pull this one out of the vault?
Yeah.
It was out of the cellar here.
I hadn't had one in a while.
You guys,
I have a
get yourself a little pour
case
there.
Case of short fills still hanging around my house.
Wow.
So this is a nice sponsor spotlight, because honestly, if you still find this on the shelf,
grab it
because it shouldn't be there.
This was from one of our first bottling runs as well.
Yeah.
It was our first beer to come out of our cognac fruiter as well. Really the only clean beer that we got out of the cognac fruiter, because everything after the 1920 soured.
Really?
Yeah.
So it hasn't done anything that's been released since?
Well, we did release one that developed some sourness in the bottle. It was a Belgian dark strong called Clarisse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It got a little funky towards the end of its lifespan.
There was actually, there's still bottles of that out in the wild.
Yeah.
Some friends of mine made a post, and they were like, hey, what's up with this? And they were like, buy it. I haven't seen that in a while.
Yeah.
I think it was carrying about a $16.99 price tag on it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's paired well with fava beans and human flesh, I think.
We tried to get our Dane Coder to have some sort of Silence of the Lambs reference, but there wasn't enough room on the label to print anything.
Yeah, I think... Blake, my co-host, is going to be pissed that we're drinking this and he's not here. Sorry.
Tastes good.
That's what happens, you know.
It's holding up pretty nice.
Yes, it is.
I love these labels, too, because they're wood veneer. You can really see it there on
that. Yeah, you won't find that again either, probably, will you?
No. Yeah, that's very cool.
No, I mean that wooden veneer label.
Oh, no. These labels were terrible because they were...
They were badass, but they suck.
Yeah, they look awesome, but we had to run the machine in reverse pretty much and just fill all the bottles.
And then label them. Okay.
But the machine is set up to label everything and send the bottles through. But since to get these labels to look the way they do, it's just thick enough that they get caught in these star wheels that pull the bottles along the conveyor. Mm-hmm. And they would just, like you can see it on this one, it just got pinched by one of the star wheels and messed up the label. And each label costs like some insane amount of money.
Now, is this another...
For a label.
Jeremy Christie design, or is this before he was doing...
I think this was one of his. Work.
Yeah, Jeremy was involved in that one. I think he and Matt both were like, yeah, that's pretty kick-ass. Nobody's ever really done that.
Yeah,
there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the tyranny, you can see the grains in the wood in the splitter.
And the idea behind the label, too, is that as it ages, it's supposed to patina as well.
Oh,
so
nice.
So the label is supposed to age with the beer.
That's really a cool idea. See, that's the kind of stuff you get with distill. It's aesthetically... pleasing as well as a palate pleasing.
There's always a story behind it.
Yeah, there should be. Every beer's got
a good story. Sometimes it's like
it's a terrible story.
Bringing up terrible memories.
Now, Mark, you're usually over at the restaurant brew pub, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
What you working on over there? That's people can.
We got some fun stuff coming up. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was working on some casks and did Belgian Golden Strong as the base beer, and then in the cask I added one of them has grapefruit and coriander.
Okay.
About a pound of grapefruit and about 10 gallons of beer, and then another one with about 8 ounces of lime with some coconut.
Do you put the lime in the coconut and then do you drink it all up, right?
Yeah. So So it's all mixed into the cask. So those will be a couple fun casks that are coming.
Do you have a name for it yet? You don't know the name until you taste it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it'll probably
I think that's
some,
how the name should be. They should be
it'll
like
probably
organic.
Just be under the cask category.
Okay.
And then every time we do a cask, it has some sort of description. So
gotcha.
It'll be
the stash cask.
Ooh.
Serious?
Maybe.
Stash. S-T-A-C-H-E.
Ooh, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
You mustache stickers and put them right over the port.
You're onto something.
There you go.
Stash series.
Ideas coming to fruition here on Drunken Lullabies.
You just shave your mustache off and
just
throw it
shave it off every
cask.
Time.
Yeah, that's the secret sad, flavor. Sad There's like mustache wax in the mix.
I'm not sure people would like that.
No, I'm not sure either, but, you know. There's hits and misses. You got to see what works. All right,
so
Alex.
That's some fun stuff.
What are you guys doing over at the production brewery side of things? I know you just had a couple new ones come out. I mean, you got the Syncopathic that
right.
by the time this comes out should be on shelves, and I highly recommend everybody go pick some up because
that's
I've been talking
delicious.
Nonstop about how amazing it is. But you also had another new release that was bottled about a week ago.
The Duke of Normandy?
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Yeah, it's an Imperial Saison. It's pretty big, nice dry Saison with a little bit of coriander, maybe some other spices.
Now, is this a brand new beer? Is this something you guys have made before in the past, like in a limited run?
Yeah, it's not the first time we've brewed it before. We've done it at the pubs. We've done it at the production brewery last year for draft only. This is the first year we're bottling it, though. So
cool. All right. So for the general public in your distribution area, this will be probably the first time tasting it. Unless they venture.
Unless they have it on draft somewhere. Yeah.
Cool. Well, keep your eyes out for that. We will probably be featuring it on an upcoming episode. I can pretty much guarantee we will be. Jeremy already stuck a bottle back for us. So.
Oh, so you don't have the bottle yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
I mean, I could swing by and pick it up today, but I don't think anybody's over
close.
There. So.
I know a guy's got keys.
Right?
We can figure something out.
I do, too.
So, are you guys putting anything new together that's aging at the moment? I know you guys just got this year's, we mentioned it earlier, this year's dose is in the barrels and...
We just filled all those barrels Thursday and Friday. It was a perfect time of the week. Nice, hot, steamy days.
Right.
Yep.
Working with beer, lifting barrels around and stuff. So all that's resting in barrels now for the next probably 3 or 4 months.
Now, did you guys make more this year because of the demand last year? Did
we
you
did.
Up the quantity?
We
probably a good idea.
We tripled the amount that we made last year.
All right. So. Yeah, I think that was a smart call.
And there are talks of other variants as well, other than just rye and bourbon. So,
cool. Ice cream.
Yeah.
Sour Patch Kids.
It's just gonna be it's gonna be our Wild Sour series.
Yeah.
Desvidania,
Wild Sour Desvidania. That should be interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
Dose is Wild.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dose is Wild.
Took this big Imperial Stout and Kettle Sour.
We're coming
for
up
no
with,
reason.
Like,
for
just
no
because.
Because,
because we can. Exactly. Boycott bland. Drink crazy shit. All right. Well, I have an ant crawling on me. That's weird. So while we finish this 1920, I think we will take a pause and listen to a spot for one of our fellow shows on the FCF network. Who have we not featured in a while? I think we will... Let's hear a little S&M radio here on the FCF network.
Step right up, step right up. Are you a fan of the macabre? Do you enjoy blood and guts? Does gore get you excited? Is getting scared your thing? Do you like horror movies? Boy, oh boy, do we have the right show for you. S&M Radio is the best horror movie podcast on the web. Shannon and Mark discuss a different horror movie topic each episode. Some episodes are about specific horror movies. Some episodes are about folks involved with horror movies. While others are about top 10 lists of horror movie topics. All with great music from all genres. I should warn you right away, spoiler alert, those two yahoos pretty much give away everything every time. Come one, come all, down to S&M Radio, where nothing is too taboo.
All right, that was S&M Radio on the FCF Network. All right, Tim. Tim is back.
Hello.
He has brought beer. We are drinking, these are medal winners from the competition today, correct?
Yes.
At least that's what they tell us.
Yeah, they're all either second or third place because couldn't take the best of show
beers. Right, the best of show beers are for the official judges who have much discernible palates than I. I'm just like, I like this beer. I like this beer. I like this beer, too. All right, so what is it that we are drinking first?
So this one that you guys have in front of you is a Belgian Dark Strong.
Okay.
So think in terms of, like, your classic Belgian double kind of flavor, but with more alcohol, more roast.
Does this have an ABV listing on raisins?
No.
That's one of the, so it's up to us to decide how strong this really is.
And that's actually part of the judging process, is to say, like, oh, I kind of get a little bit of a burn in my throat.
Okay.
It's got some warming to it.
Higher octane.
But if you get it up in your, like, forehead, nose area, then it's, like,
if it clears the sinuses, then you know it's strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bad kind of strong.
I just always pour a drop on my eyeball. That's how I test.
That's how you do it?
That's so weird.
Old trick.
Careful with those sours.
It'll really mess up your eyesight. Shakes it up, counts the bubbles.
What's going to be funny is, like, watching us taste these, and then you have the real judges over there testing the best in show, and how different the process will be. You're pouring beer into your eyeball.
I like this one.
They're
smelling the glass. Actually, like, when Mark pours the beer into my eyeball, it works better.
It's taxing, with the eyedropper.
We get the clamps on his eyes.
Do you put it, like, on the iris or on the whites?
I try to aim towards, like, the corner of my
eye. Oh, the tear duct.
Yeah, right in there.
Okay. That's where the eye juice usually... coagulates. So that sounded really gross.
Yeah. All right. Eye juice.
Coagulating eye juice.
All right. So we don't know who made any of these beers. So we can't give proper credit to the brewers. So thanks.
What place they are?
Second place. The Dark Strong.
Yeah.
Was a silver medal winner.
In which category?
In the. It's divided by table, and the tables were. Belgian and Trappist. So that included wit beer, Belgian single, or I'm sorry, Trappist single, Trappist double, and Dark Strong, and two other Belgians that I can't think of offhand.
So the person that won will know who they are.
But it's
right.
But it's a lot.
In that
there were 11 entries in this category.
Nice. Okay.
The judges hated me today for it because they had back-to-back 11 entry flights, and that's
a big beer flight.
Of big beers. So that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah.
It's a palate wrecker.
Go big or go home.
I mean, this doesn't really taste that big, though. It's not It's not super hot.
No, it's pretty smooth. No,
it's pretty clean.
It's got nice fruity flavors, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of fruit. Candy-like.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of Twizzlers. Licorice.
Like I can, it's got like a little bit of a boozy nose when you swish around and get everything activated, it doesn't taste hot to me.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm also still on the 1920.
There's definitely
you're behind a little.
Roasted malt in there, obviously, for color.
Yeah, it feels like it's somewhere between like a Belgian Russian Imperial Stout and a double.
Yeah, it is big. Very
it's dark.
Yeah.
It's good, though.
Alex, your eye has turned completely red. Is that a good indicator?
Passed the test, yeah.
Okay.
It's a good one.
All right. How do you know if
it's a nice beer.
If you don't enjoy it?
My eyeball falls out.
Oh, okay.
It just
dries up and falls out.
In the homebrew competitions, you know you got a good beer when it's not technically two style, but they give you the medal anyway.
Yeah.
There's some wiggle room in that Belgian category, though.
Yeah.
We are drinking in proper glassware, which are plastic Solo cups.
With a non-tulip.
Yes.
Non-tulip. 9 ounce.
Yep.
Regulation.
Hmm.
Like to loosen the rim a little bit so our jump shots land.
I'm enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like this a lot.
Thanks, whoever you are. Like I said, we like giving credit, but unfortunately, we really
can't. It's got a nice milk chocolate finish.
Yeah, it's real smooth.
And this was second?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that, Tim?
Well, you know, I don't want to spoil you guys with first place, give you an idea of what's out there on the table.
I can take the mic over there and we can be like, how much better is the beer that you're drinking than the beer we're drinking? And they're like, so good. I poured it in both my eyes.
It was that good.
You do that too.
I told you.
It's a professional secret.
It's a widely accepted practice.
Oh, man. Oh, I've got a little residue here at the end.
Yeah. It's I had quite a bit at the bottom of my
Yeah.
Is it char from the foder?
Definitely.
Yeah, cool.
Oh, is that on the 1920?
No, that's from the... At least mine's from the Belgian that we just had.
Yeah.
And the mine was perfect.
Interesting.
It was beautiful.
I had crap pour.
A little bit. It's all right. All right, so what do we got next?
So the next one is a Trappist Single, and this got a bronze. Actually, for all the Distill fans out there...
There's a few.
It's a similar style to our Abbey Single.
Okay.
So just so everybody else can kind of get a gauge of what we're drinking.
Do they have Grim Reapers on their label?
It doesn't taste like it.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to like it then. I always like it better if there's like the threat of imminent death on the horizon.
And how were these three beers selected again?
I just went
There's
through
the... There's a talent competition, bikini competition, and then...
Special talent?
You have to answer a question posed by the
judges. Yeah, there's a Q&A.
The special talent is a private meeting with myself and another person who is anonymous.
You can find the video on X Hamster next week.
Yes.
All right, well, that didn't answer anything.
Just half.
No, thanks, guys.
I think you just pulled high score ones.
I went through the flight summary sheet and looked for the ones that had high scores that were
How'd
still...
How'd you limit it to just three?
They were the highest score.
Okay.
And they were available.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Yeah.
So there, we'll may, drink all the there beers may have been better beers
left behind. No beers left behind. That's our motto.
That's right.
They're all available because everyone sends in two bottles.
Yeah. So everyone
that wins first place in their category, the second bottle goes to the best of show that's being judged over there. But the second, third place.
Yeah. Do you guys want to taste some of the worst?
It's just available.
Usually not.
That's available.
Which is kinda nice,
but there are some of those.
We can taste the ones that.
I was gonna say we can drink Tim's beer.
Ooh, putting me on the spot.
Right.
So I did read through my comments for my score sheets.
Okay.
It's not that it's like a bad beer. It's not great. Like, I won't hold it up to some high standard, but it's not. I entered it into the amber category, and it's not an amber.
Then why did you do that?
That's the
best. Closest category.
It scored a 26. Out of 50.
Out of 100? So, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say 26 is pretty bad.
Almost halfway there. Less than.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah.
Just a hair over.
You more than
Take my hand. We'll make it, I swear.
I swear.
Living on a prayer.
Yeah.
Johnny works the doc song. Yeah. It's okay.
That's a pretty long pop rep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Drake.
It's the only way to console him.
Single?
Yeah, that's the single.
What do you got? You got like a lineup going here. You trying to do a flight?
I'm trying to figure this one out.
It's just a little fruity.
I'm trying to figure this one out. A little fruity.
That's what people say about me.
So then, this last one that I just passed around is it's interesting in that it's very new in terms of category and style guidelines.
New school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's called a Keller beer.
Is this one mine?
Which is a historic, like, summertime.
What am I drinking?
I don't know.
German.
Oh, you might have the Keller beer. What am I? This is probably the
Trappist. You're so confused.
I think this is the Keller.
Yeah.
What is this then?
I think that's the Belgian single, I think. Single?
Oh, so you gave us two at the same time?
No.
No, you just weren't paying attention.
I haven't been drinking.
Double A. He doesn't even know what's
this
going
one's
on yet.
You might have thought it was mine. It was in my general area.
This is the single, and this is the Keller beer.
That's what I'm thinking because this is.
So we got we got two pours Keller. Here. I'm guessing this is yours. For
you
the
can
other one.
You can really tell the difference. Like the Keller beer almost tastes more like a.
It's a lager.
Yeah, but this one kind of tastes more like a.
What?
A banana bread kind of thing.
that would make me think like more hefe bison.
So
if it got the banana.
If I understand, I am really glad I didn't have to judge today because I don't know the category, but it's based on the Helles and Märzen style.
So okay.
Your amber European lagers, and apparently it can be like variations off of those. Okay. But that's the difference. Yeah. So like,
well,
it's not fruity like a hef, though.
No. And last night, I cracked open a bomber. I went to Hailstorm Brewing up in the Tinley Park area a few weeks ago, and they had some discount bombers for like $3 of their Oktoberfest. And it was bottled last September. I still bought one because it's $3 bomber. I'll try it.
From who again?
From Hailstorm.
Okay.
And it was called Take Me to Your Liter. And it had an alien in Lederhosen.
I thought they were going with that.
Right? When I opened it and we poured it, like, it smelled like apple juice. It was so weird. Like, that's not what I was expecting from an Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
It still tasted okay, though. Like, I'm not going to...
Green apples?
It reminded me of a cider on the nose, which for an Oktoberfest, that's not what it's supposed to smell like.
Yeah.
But it still tastes all right. And, I mean, for $3, it's like... I'd probably drink it again for $3. I'm not going to pay $20.
Even with that weird nose.
But the thing is, I don't mind that kind of smell. And even though I know that's not what that's supposed to taste like, and that's an anomaly, or just that something has been in a bottle too long, it's like still got the job done. I don't know. And that's why I'm not a judge at beer competitions, because I'll drink that and I'll be like, I know it's not right, but I still will drink
it. I still like it. They won World Beer Cup medal, I think, with their Maybach.
Hailstorm?
Yeah, rock out with Maybach.
My favorite one I had at Hailstorm was, they've got the Dominatrix IPA. There's like a double IPA or triple IPA. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I had an Imperial Russian Stout there that was really, really good. Like, super smooth. Like, I expected it to be way more harsher than it was. And I was like, okay, I'm glad I'm only getting a pour of this from a flight, because if I drank a full pour, this would be trouble.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm just... It's got that fruity nose on it. This is, like, I could easily drink this one many times.
I think my favorite out of the three is the Dark Strong.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I still haven't tried the third
these are
one
bad,
yet.
But that one has a little
that's
more
the color beer
character.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me again, what's
a little more depth
characteristics of a color beer.
This one's...
So I can just kind of quickly
Google
over
it. Wikipedia. Yeah,
I've been out of touch with the beer judging and certification program guidelines since they reissued
a single
recently.
That's a whole other thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, for anybody who doesn't know,
how do we do that?
The BJCP is the Beer Judge Certification Program, and they pretty much designate the styles that homebrew is judged against.
Create the guidelines to judge against.
So, they say for the flavor that it's moderately malty with rounded, grainy, sweet profile.
Yes.
Floral, herbal, hop flavor, moderate hop bitterness. Crisp, dry finish, malty aftertaste, low diacetyl, if any. They just go on to say that certain off flavors are or are not acceptable. But
what's the color?
Comment on the grist. Is this like an adjunct style?
I get some green apple off this guy.
Talks about Pilsner malt, German hops, German lager yeast, same as a Munich Helles. So I imagine...
Kind of apple-y.
It is like an American Helles, kind
of. Yeah. So I imagine it's supposed to be like a Munich Helles that's brewed warm.
It's carbon nice.
Like during the summertime.
Yeah, the carbonation is really nice, but that nose is just...
I like the fruity one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the finish right off the color.
That's kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Well, while we are trying to discern what's fruity, what's not,
especially if you use a lager yeast.
Yeah.
I think, you guys all right with playing a little music right now?
Play
going to another song?
Escuchando la música.
Okay. Are you Spanish?
No.
No. But I don't know. The beard changes things. I don't know. He could be Hispanic underneath people. All that hair. I don't know.
He's Cuban.
All right. Cuban. So I think we'll go for another song from our band of the week, Quiet Company, which, again, we're somewhat trying to be Quiet Company here at the beer competition. But this is Understand the Problem.
Here. The more we drink, the harder it gets.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we're going to understand the problem on Drunken Lullabies. We'll be back in a few. Was the Quiet Company, and now we've got more beer. Brian, what are you doing?
I'm smelling.
You're huffing.
Yeah. There's paint in that.
There's an ant again.
Where are these ants coming from?
Ant-Man.
Who brought the ants in?
I don't know. I don't think they're part of the competition.
Bring those
I
in
just
with
think
your
they're part of the ambiance.
They're definitely not sanctioned.
This is how we get ants, guys.
Our beers are ant-free.
Do you want ants?
Oh.
This is actually my beer. It's kind of embarrassing.
Your beer is exploding.
It's alive.
Well, I mean, it's just kind of...
That bottle looks awfully familiar, Tim.
Doesn't it?
It does.
Where do you ever get a bottle of that shape?
It looks... 500 milliliter Belgian bottles are hard to find.
Yeah.
Where did you find one of those?
I went to Belgium.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
Oddly familiar.
Yeah.
It looks like it could be the sister of the bottle that is holding this 19.
Or also or like the Imperial Pilsner that I have drank before.
It looks very similar. Or the 1920 that we had earlier.
Similar color in the bottle.
He's taking supplies from his work.
It's all right. It happens. So
we don't have office supplies.
Check car for staples.
tell us about this beer we're going to drink called Table 6 Boss.
Okay, so this one is a double IPA that just didn't make it. I don't know what it scored. I just went into the cooler and grabbed
cool,
beer.
Double IPA. I'm game.
So is this the best out of Table 6?
No.
Why is it BLS?
So it's every person sends in...
Like a boss.
Oh, gotcha.
And then one is served.
One for
the regular judging, and then if it
that was
happens to be
BOS
make
it, one.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Take a hit, pass it around.
Yep. Well, you and the listeners.
You need to empty out some of your glasses. Alex, you're...
That one's his.
I have a feeling you're going to do that thing where you're trying to play the rims and, like, make music, but they're plastic glasses. It's not going to work. Yes. You're wanting to be our band of the week, and this is not going to happen.
I'm really
just keep pouring the beer in your eyes.
Double A on the cups.
Yes.
These nice plastic rims.
Do you want to sing the Anna Kendrick song from Pitch Perfect? You can.
I don't know that song.
Do a little cups, double A on the cups, double A cups.
Give me a couple weeks to practice.
Okay.
We'll come back and perform it live.
Yeah. All right. We can do that.
Okay.
What do you think, OG?
Ooh, this baby's malty. That's what I think. A little malt.
Tim, we still haven't come up with a nickname for you yet.
That's all right. I'm almost nickname-less.
That's not true.
That's not good.
I mean, the nicknames that I have, I didn't earn. They're just... This one guy has too many nicknames, and I got the runoff.
It's what?
I get more malt.
Who had...
Like the hop character.
Adam, who's actually... Is this me?
Oh, it's a mead. We got a mead.
Yeah.
That is Adam's?
This is Adam Hofler's.
I figured.
Yeah. It was mead.
Brian, I think I'm going to call you the Dothraki, because, like, if you had some eyeliner on, you look like you'd be in Game of Thrones as one of the Dothraki. I'm just telling you. Like, with the beard and the ponytail thing, you totally look like a Dothraki.
Is this Nick's?
No.
I didn't. Can he put his in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'd be interested in trying this.
Yeah,
they're all homebrewers. They'll enter the home.
Not all of them.
So we need to pull out all the
beers, think,
and we can line.
I don't
up
think
in
Drew homebrews.
Drew doesn't.
No. Yeah,
yeah.
He's afraid of open flame.
What now?
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't homebrew.
We could take the in.
Well, you don't have to. You have a whole facility at your.
I do have
disposal.
A little bigger hobby now.
Yeah. I mean, Katie.
Mustache wax?
Katie can homebrew.
Keep a mustache. It takes all my time.
Katie ever express interest in homebrewing?
She's the one that actually got me started.
Really?
Homebrewing. And then look what it's turned into.
Well, the son. Your
now
son will be
home,
doing it soon enough, I guess.
Sitting in the pool with the kid while I'm here drinking beer with you guys. So.
Wait, I thought
thank
you had
you.
To fill the pool.
She was
she's,
filling it.
She's
and
in an empty
in
pool?
It. Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
Sad life. The Tilly House.
That'd be kind
not
of interesting. Just hanging out in a pool that's filling.
Okay, this was a double IPA.
Yep.
I've bought a lot worse than this at Friar Talk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a really well made beer.
Yeah.
And this, you don't even know what this placed.
I mean, I don't.
It could have been fifth place for all we know.
Could have been.
Could have been.
Or fourth, runner up.
A lot of the competitions, too, is just kind of luck of the draw, also, because if you show up on a table with 10 beers and 3 of them are good, it's really easy to get placed into them. Mm-hmm. But if you show up on a table with 10 beers and 7 of them are good, it gets a little hard to get placed into.
Yeah.
This didn't place, I'd have to guess that the IPA table was pretty good today.
Yeah.
Well, is it all IPAs and double IPAs on the same table?
Yeah. That's ooh. The.
And they changed it too. Where all the Belgians, the Rye, the Black Saison, the double IPAs are all in this big hoppy category now.
So there's standard IPA, then there's specialty IPA, which is just every kind of variation of IPA you can think of, like Brian was naming. And then double IPA, which is what this one is.
You want to pour us some nice. Our next beer?
Yeah, sure. What do you guys want? We got a...
I think placement in your flight also makes
a difference. Oh, you got a new glass.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Totally. So if there's a flight of 10, did you guys have flights of 10 today?
We had a lot of big flights.
So if
flights
of like,
25.
So that'd be a lot. I'd feel bad for the judges, but I wouldn't want to be like... I would never really want to be in, like, there's an ant.
I told you, man, they're everywhere. So. Scott Lang is, like, trying to
take over
so
the show.
So it'd be hard to be in, like, the last third of the flight.
6 to 10.
Because, you know, when you get down that far,
you don't want to be on the back end.
Like, palate fatigue, especially with this category.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and everything kind of starts
two or
to
three
run together.
Too. Double IPAs, your mouth is pretty much shut.
Now, how big of pours do the judges get?
I mean, they're using this size glass of, like, the 9 ounce.
But they're not filling it to the top.
It's maybe, maybe
three ounces.
3 or 4 ounces.
There's a triple IPA called Flight Destroyer.
There's an opportunity to revisit, too, where at the end they'll pull one's part that they thought they remembered as being the good ones and then judge them against each other a little bit, too.
Yeah, you can consolidate that flight down to, like, 5.
They're still rejudging them against each other with a muted palate.
Right.
At that point.
I mean, it's a tough.
Yeah.
I've been there.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
So the ones judging beer competitions always seems like something fun to do until you do a couple of them and you realize that
I'd rather just drink.
It's a lot of work.
I like doing it recreationally.
Yeah. And you have to take a serious approach to it because it's an all-day drinking event that you have to write essays during the middle of. So it gets as exhausting as taking a big exam. A lot of times too.
Like I'm watching them right now and they're like scratching their heads and drinking their water, cracking their necks. They don't even
take it seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
not just good.
And we're
bad.
Just over here talking bullshit.
It's a lot of application of the guidelines to the beer. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's just gatekeeping. You just look at the guidelines and say for aroma it's supposed to be this. You take the beer and you say it is or it isn't. You assign points based on whether it is or it's not.
Yeah.
Move on to the flavor. Appearance, different things like that. So a lot of it just gets to be sport keeping as much as
a lot of bull expulsion of gases.
Judging. Yeah,
that's a drink.
I'm not holding
drink
them it. In any, I'm not holding them in anymore.
Don't. That's part of the game. All right.
So we have
for our next one.
So there's either the mead from one of the distill workers.
What would follow a double IPA? Well,
double IPA. We probably.
Does it really matter?
Whatever. We're gonna drink yours. The overflower.
We're gonna go with mine.
Tim made it.
The overflower.
I made this one.
All right. So we can be really, really brutal with our reviews.
Real mean.
It's a nice double eye. It's not too shabby.
Yeah.
It was enjoyable.
Like I said, I've paid for a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
These big distill bottles. I mean, my my Belgian bottles that I got from Belgium.
I got these Belgium bottles.
All right, now how long did you spend refining this?
Tell us about this one,
Taylor.
This is the first time I brewed it.
Okay, and you just entered it in a competition on your first go.
Yep.
Yep.
Why not?
Yeah.
I mean,
carpe diem.
And I'm coordinating the whole thing, and I like for there to be entries.
Did you have another, like, have you been homebrewing a while that you have one that's a tighter recipe that you've made more times? It's like, I could have entered that, but you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to put a rookie beer in.
Road Bruin that you drank all of?
Yeah. So I had a barrel-aged sour that went to the second round of the National Homebrewers Competition.
And
which
he didn't
competes with like 7,000 other.
And
you
didn't bring that one today.
Well, I didn't send it to the second round because I was out of it.
You drank it.
I drank it.
Oh. Well, you know what?
So
I can't fault you for that.
Wasn't thinking it was going to go far.
If I made a super great beer, I would be chomping at the bit probably to drink it myself. I have enough trouble with beer. I don't make beer, you know, and it's like. It disappears out of my fridge frequently. So, if I made one that was like, this is all me, you know, I'd want to drink it. Yeah.
That beer was really good.
Yeah.
I could drink that forever.
You can give it the AA stamp of approval.
What was it?
At least someone can vouch for it before.
It was a barrel-aged Flanders Red. It was... It was in a 15-gallon journeyman rye whiskey barrel for 2 years.
Where'd you get that from?
I actually got that secondhand from Beguile Brewing Company. They age their, what's the pajamas beer that they make?
Imperial pajamas?
Yeah.
Bananas in pajamas.
That's the one.
They're coming down the stairs.
I don't know the rest of that.
I think that's the whole song. The whole song is just repeated.
It's looped.
It's totally good for something.
Yeah, definitely. But, for aged that for 2 years, then racked it off. I got two kegs out of it, and just got real excited that it was good enough to go to the second round and just drank a bunch of it.
When I get real excited, I just start drinking. And then
I'm so excited.
Oh, no.
I'm so excited. I'm so scared.
I'm so drunk. I'm
just going to drink it all up.
Drink it. All right. Well, you know, Tim, I know you were being hard on yourself earlier, but this isn't horrible.
It's fine.
For your first go round, you know, I'm sure by your third or fourth, it'll be even better.
And the judge's feedback was really good. It was very detailed.
Uh-huh.
So either they said I could enter it in the red IPA category.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which would kind of work, but it wouldn't do as well. Because it's still got hobby. It's still
What's
got
your hops?
I think there's bath salts.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I don't.
You didn't get any judge sheets that just said "nice try, Bozo"?
No.
Not this time.
It's just got more bitterness than what I would have expected.
It's the Janet's Brown recipe in brewing.
It's Miss Jackson
styles.
If you're nasty, Tim.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure you're aware.
I am aware.
So it was based off of Janet's.
Yeah. Which is
I think your malt bill is there.
It's just supposed to be a brown ale with more hops in it, but this ended up being. It has a little bit more of like a resinous hop character to it that lends more of a lingering bitterness, and it doesn't really have like the malt backbone to back it up.
Gotcha.
Do you use White Labs by any chance?
No.
Or yeast?
I use pretty much white yeast.
White yeast?
Yeah.
Where do you get that from, Tim?
I definitely don't bottle it off of the bottom of the fermenters at work.
Interesting.
Good for you.
Double A. We talk old school wrestling on this podcast a lot too.
Yes.
And you've got the name Double A, Arn Anderson, the Enforcer. Are you a fan of? Did you grow up watching wrestling?
I did.
I think all of us here at the table were all in that age demographic grew up watching 80s WWF, WCW.
I took about 10 years off, and I kind of casually watch now. Like, I'll mainly just do the pay-per-views.
Yeah, there's a pay-per-view tomorrow night. Yeah. I'm going to be gone, so I'll have to watch it on replay. Brian, you? Who is your favorite old-school wrestler?
Hacksaw
Jim Duggan. All right, the cross-eyed moron from Glen Falls, New York.
Rowdy. Show up with the 2x4 and
Grab
him going.
All right. Alex, who was yours?
This is a little later era than Hacksaw, but my favorite wrestler growing up was Edge. Around the same time as like the Brood was happening.
Do you watch the Edge and Christian show on the WWE Network?
I did not.
Oh, you should.
I kind of started, or I stopped watching wrestling when Edge and Christian got into their weird, like, ham for the camera kind of stage.
Well, I mean, Edge...
And then
started dating Lita, and she was with Matt Hardy.
Apparently, I stopped watching right before Edge blew up and got huge.
Yeah, it got really awkward. It's like, oh, let's take two guys that legit are fighting over this girl. Let's make it a storyline. Like, that's his real life. Like, these guys are beating the shit out of each other every day. It's like, yeah, you took my girlfriend from me. Yeah. That's not a fun work environment. Mark. You an old school?
Oh yeah,
old school fan.
Probably the oldest in this group.
How old are you?
I'm 38.
Okay, you are. You are actually older than I. Because I found out earlier, I'm older than Brian. I thought he was
probably a youngin.
Yeah, I thought he was about my age.
Yeah.
But no. So yeah, me and you, we remember the golden era. I'm getting ready to turn 35.
Okay.
1981.
So I was at the
beginning of the 80s, and you're at the tail end of the 70s.
Yeah. So I was right there with, like, you know, Ultimate Warrior, Savage, Hogan, that era.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to pick Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
Is mine for, like, singles matchups. And then I'm going to go, like, totally off the scale for, like, doubles, which would be the Bushwhackers.
Oh, you just like people that lick faces and, like, just do this weird arm thing. Yeah.
That's what I do when I get drunk. Just
is it? Okay. We drank the Poffo pills a couple episodes ago from Against the Grain. And I did.
Where'd you find that book?
Cup of coffee in the big time. I was in Champagne.
They got a cease and desist from the estate of...
they did.
They sure did, from the Poffo.
See, I did not know that. Yeah. That was the whole reason I bought it, was because I was drinking with another old school wrestling fan. I'm like, you're going to appreciate this. This is the Poffo pills, the glory of Downers Grove, Illinois, Macho Man,
Randy Poffo. They got a cease and desist from his ex-wife, or widow, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, with a whole
it's
list
still available
of,
at
like,
Benny's and Champagne.
This, and this.
You can't do that.
Did she do a cease and desist for his rap album? Probably not.
Rap.
Be a man, Hogan.
The real question, though...
What?
Wolfpack or Hollywood?
Okay, here's the thing. I was
too old at that point.
I was a WWF loyalist.
Too old to be too sweet.
So I watched. I did watch NWO.
Sweet.
I just recently watched the thing with Scott Hall. Like, he's a recovered alcoholic and all that.
Yeah.
And did DDP yoga and got back in shape and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. Like,
that shit cracks me up.
Hulk Hogan, really? I liked him as a kid, but then I was like, he's the John Cena of our day.
Oh, yeah.
He totally. Never really appealed to me. Even when he was doing the whole Hollywood.
Yeah, I'd probably go Wolfpack, but honestly, I was more of a Jericho and Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko. Like, I liked the cruiserweights.
You like Canadian and Mexican wrestlers.
I like wrestlers that kill their wives and children, apparently.
No. This isn't like them damn American wrestlers. So much pretense, can't stand it.
Tim, you're probably the youngest one here.
Yeah, you guys are speaking a different language.
He's like, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
International wrestling.
Yeah, he's like, I remember when John Cena came out.
I was a wee little pup.
Yeah.
Still can't see Tim.
Yeah, I remember vaguely when I was younger watching, like, Undertaker, Triple H, and...
Oh, you mean a couple years ago at WrestleMania?
Like 10 years ago?
Yeah, so like all these guys...
Is Paul Bear still there?
No, he's dead.
He's dead.
Damn.
Rest in peace, Percy Pringle.
Hey, let's pour one out.
Yep, pour one out for
Paul Bear.
Undertaker.
Yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm trying to be quiet. I can't do a Paul Bear if I'm being quiet. So
you need the full bellow to do it the right
exactly.
way.
Drew has been teaching me.
Has he?
At work.
Good job, Drew.
Whenever we're on the canning line.
Attaboy.
Yeah. He's just been talking wrestling at you?
Well, I'll be like, so tell me about Hype Men. And then he'll just go on this talk for like... an hour.
Well, I thought he was putting you in suplexes and stuff.
Oh, no, not.
Yeah, German suplexes.
And I'm like, you got him in the figure four over there?
We've been training at the brewery for wrestling.
Yeah, it's going to be part of Brewing Olympics or Brewery Olympics.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, usually on the episodes.
What's that?
The figure four leg lock.
Oh, yeah.
we do a pick of the week, but unfortunately, this episode, we're not really going to be able to do that. Because we don't even know who made half the beers, so we're not gonna do that. I hope you forgive us. We're just gonna keep enjoying these beers, and we hope you enjoyed listening to us sit around drinking a bunch of beer, because that's what we do here at Drunken Lullabies. And we'll be back next week. Maybe Beer Mansky will be back. I have no idea. I don't even know what we're drinking. It's just go with the flow here. We know we're going to be drinking a great beer from Distill, maybe a White Oak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe if I can get some Seems Legit in a bottle, we'll drink that next week. We'll see.
That seems legit.
Yeah, totally seems legit. Well, on behalf of everybody here, thank you for joining us. And until next week, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We'll see you in a week.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.